As you know, we're in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. And then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you've made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we're going to invite Festus. I'm just going to pray for you. Okay. Yes, Lord, we thank you so much for Festus and his faithfulness to you, Father God. And we pray that you bless him and anoint him, speak through him. Give us heart and ears to listen and hear what you have to say this morning. So we pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all again. My name is Festus Adeyemo. It's not my first time here. Last time I was here with my family, it was for Charis's induction. And before that, I've been here to preach before, I think 2011. So it's good to be back here again. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now I feel welcomed. Let us pray. Father, you were here before the world was here. You will be here to consummate everything. But while we are within the 20 minutes of talk time, not let your will be done. Let your name be glorified. Everything that is not helpful, Lord, please be my editor. And everything that is useful and fit for purpose, make them clear. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Christianity is one of the most understood concepts in the world. And please, just before I go on, I'm so free in Christ, I cannot promise you I'll be here by this pulpit throughout the sermon. I have a tendency to wander around. So do not mind, please. God is one of the most misunderstood concepts, whatever you call it, person, human, father, mother, known to human. What's even more complicated is the way God moves, what he's doing, and how he does it. Because it's illogical, sometimes it doesn't make sense, and sometimes you can't even have a proper graph or pie chart to show what God is doing. Sometimes it's difficult to have a formula. I have been saved and in ministry for about 24 years now, but I still have to learn and open up myself to discern, to let God guide me and teach me. God may take off from A here. He is going here. It looks obvious that he should go in a straight line. But sometimes he goes through the pipes and stays there and waits till the summer melts the pipes. Then he will drip like some waste water and land here. That story has a lot of rich resources for the Christian. But it's also got these frightening things inside. So please, when you hear the rich bits, the nice bits, you can say, thank you, Festus. But the really hard bits, don't blame me. Jesus goes triumphantly into Jerusalem. Now, this wasn't his first time. But we do have this historical record. He goes in and out. Those who are familiar with the gospel, you will know Jesus was always on the move. He was always on the move. Jesus was aware of his enemies. I like my sermons interactive because that's the nature of the gospel. So I do ask questions. Now, in this passage here, who were identified as the enemies of Jesus? Huh? The religious leaders, the ordained ministers. Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes who were very learned, they organized the theological training at the time. And if the rabbis don't sign you off, you may not be presented to any Baptist congregation for selection. So note that, please. Jesus is returning to Jerusalem aware of his enemies, but this time he's not hiding. He decides to make a triumphant entry. Mr. Robert, please, when it's 20 minutes, just hands up and out. So God's move in our world, in our times. This is the question I want you all to take away. But in my restaurant, I like to give you your takeaway first, in case we cannot finish the main course. So the questions I wish you to take away is that in this move of God in this world, this mysterious God that his ways, his methods are non-conventional. They don't stick to our cultural principles. Our algorithms cannot sustain the move of God. So the question again is, where are you in this move? What do you see? What do you recognize? What are you expecting? If you want to write those down, I'll repeat them. In this move of God, in this world, since creation, see, it started at creation. Then Jesus is going to come back again one day. This is why I live and preach. This is the urgency with which I preach. Two urgencies. He is coming back again. The second is I could die today. I already carry a terminal illness. No one even knows I'd be alive up till now. So I live this way. From Eden, he's going to come back again. But I need you to ask yourself, please, where are you with this God's story and movement? Because in this passage, we've identified that Jesus' enemies who were going to kill him were the religious leaders. And please ask yourself, are you a disciple of Christ or are you a religious person? See, I've noticed every good church has a David. There's a David somewhere. There's a Samuel. Jesus, the Jewish nation as a whole, were expecting a Messiah. Because life was pretty terrible for their self-esteem and dignity at the time. Jew as a nation were under Roman rule. Now, some of us will never understand what that is. But to stay in your own country and be invaded, and then the new rule of law supersedes your own culture. So it wasn't really a happy time for the Jews as a nation. But then, not everybody saw God's move when Jesus was presented in the temple. We have a record of a widow, Anna, and Simeon. But the religious leaders, the satellite navigation did not pick God's arrival. And in this passage again, they cannot see Jesus coming into Jerusalem. To think Jesus knows he was going to die. Some rabbis then thought, a powerful Messiah will come to an unworthy Israel. We're worthy. So it's got to be a worthy Messiah. The majority thought he must be a warrior Messiah, because they reasoned that to overcome these Romans with their superior firepower and ammunition, this Messiah must be loaded with some mega forces, some kind of, I can't describe, but put all our superheroes into one. All the Incredibles, Superman, Batman, Batlady, Batcat, put them all into one individual. It might capture the kind of savior majority Jews were expecting. Majority Jews. And now Jesus goes into. So go get me a colt. There's a colt. There was a prearrangement. He had made a prearrangement. Go in there, you'd find a virgin colt. No one has rode on it before. bring it. Now, this ordinary people, sometimes despised people, sometimes often very poor. But the crowd who followed Jesus, they were not the kind of crowd most of us will happily associate with publicly. In fact, in Jesus' time, the people, the few rich people who lived with, who went to him, were not doing that openly all the time. Some will sneak at night. Anyway, here he comes, triumphal entry. They get the cult. The cult comes. He gets on it. Then they realize the religious leaders had missed that. The churches had missed that. The Anglicans, the Baptists, the CAC, they had all missed that. And now it was ordinary people who knew that the Messiah was here. And because the religious organizations had missed that appointment, it shows that they were not discerning. Anyway, God's will must be done. Jesus is here. Nothing stopped him from being born. Nothing is going to stop his triumphant entry. Despite that, this event had been recorded in Isaiah. His birth, this entry, his death, his resurrection. Even though God is very complicated to understand, sometimes he's the simplest one because he's with us. He goes to extents to prove something to us. So he will foretell before events. He will tell you what will happen. You might argue, you might not like it. Like he told Cain, he said, your heart is starting to manufacture sin. Get rid of it quick before it progresses. But Cain didn't listen. He still went and killed his brother. And because God has not taken away that choice from us, the religious leaders in these stories, the poor people, the disciples, all still had these choices to make. Anyway, they missed it. The king has come. Ordinary people had to spontaneously offer their hearts worship. When Michael Jackson was alive and in his heydays, I used to watch people go hysterical over him. Michael! Worship, adoration. Anyway, here people took off their clothes. They laid down and formed a red carpet. Because the religious organizations missed it, the rabbis, the Pharisees missed it, they were not able to organize a proper red carpet reception. Anyway, Jesus goes, he comes, right? And then these ordinary people began to worship. Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. These ordinary people understood Isaiah that the Pharisees did not understand. These ordinary people, some of them on benefit, some of them sick, some of them don't even look attractive. These ordinary people who'd been following Jesus everywhere, they understood the prophecies. They knew that was the day. They knew that the prophecies said that the Messiah will be a descendant of David. So they say again, Hosanna, if you can put it up. Hosanna to the one from David. They acknowledge the one from David. They acknowledge his historicity, that he's linked with the lineage of David. Then they acknowledge, they rejoice, say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders, wanted to have him dead. So look at the people welcoming the Lord. And look at the people killing him. Where are you? Thank you. anyway, they worship him. And can I say something about worship here? It must only be done to please God. If it's not pleasing him, it's not fit for purpose. But how do we know it pleases him? Ha! Because when God is pleased with our worship, we ourselves end up becoming very, very pleased. Hallelujah. Yes, because that person giving 100%, not some 0.001%, they've donated on WhatsApp publicly for everyone. But while he was going in, something else happened. Now, this passage, I know there's a book you're reading, but I just like to preach the gospel. It's there. Two things happen in this passage that are very significant. One, the first time Jesus curses, negative action, the fig tree. The second action is the only time the Son of God was violent. He kicked tables, he kicked chairs, then he stopped other traders from coming in. Let's get in there slowly. So ordinary people welcomed him as their king. They worshipped him. They were in sync with God's mind. They were in sync with what God was doing in their time. So, Jesus finishes that. He leaves. But while there, he noticed. Let's, if you have it up. Jesus notices this fig tree, fig, F-I-G. And he was hungry. He's fulfilled a prophecy. Now he's out again. He's going back out. And when they were leaving, Jesus was hungry. He saw this fig tree. Seeing that it had leaves, Jesus went to it and wanted to eat something. Fruit. But there was no fruit on the tree. And Jesus cursed the fig tree. But Peter, smart Peter, he saw. And when they were returning, he said, Lord, because that was out of character. This is out of character. Jesus was nothing like the prophet before in the Old Testament. When it was okay, when God will send you to go and crucify people and kill everyone in the land. Take that land. Jesus now is a man of peace, a prince of peace. He's brought us new qualities. So this was extraordinary. So Peter said, Lord, why did you curse? You noticed he cursed that tree. Why did you do that? And Jesus explained. Now, there's a parallel passage in Luke 13 about a fig tree also that was not producing fruit. And the owner asked Jesus, the vineyard keeper, give me some more time. Now, this is one of the mysterious things about God. Some people like to paint God like some spineless human being who does not know how to discipline or respond to what is not right. Well, they do it to justify their sins. But here, Jesus cursed a fig tree and said, because I come to you for fruit, and there is none on you, may no one ever eat from this tree again. Now this, from I've become a Christian, passages like this scare me. Because you see, God in the Bible, John 10, Galatians 5:22, encourages us to bear fruit, good fruits. Jesus was hungry. Ask yourself, when God wants to eat, can he get a fruit from your life? Because you see, God doesn't take money, he doesn't accept cash. The offerings you gave, you all know where you're going to spend it. It's for earthly things. Sometimes you may pay a preacher who's come to preach, or the ones you employ. But you know where the rest goes. Bills and everything. But the one thing God wants is worship and for us to bear fruits. So this tree did not have any fruit for the Lord. And Jesus cursed this tree. You see, it would have been, there would have been no curse if the tree did not even have leaves at all. No leaves, no fruit, no problem. Jesus would have just gone. Okay, the season then, the passage says that it wasn't exactly the season for the harvest of figs. But in that region at that time, figs grow very well. And once they start to have fruits, by the time you see the first leaves, fruit growers will know this. So some fruits were supposed to be on that fig at that time to eat, but not enough to harvest for commercial purposes. So Jesus approached the tree in anticipation, in hope that there's food here. And was shocked that there's no food and pronounced judgment. Notice the judgment too was not with sword or anything, it was by faith. Which is what he was referring to at the end. If you have faith, you ask God for anything, he will do it. But just make sure that you don't harbor malice. Are you forgiving anyone who's wronged you? Simple. Back to the issue of the curse. Are you a tree, a Christian, that looks deceptive? You have the leaves. And people think, you're all right. But there's no fruit for the Lord. I really want us to ask ourselves, as a church, as families, do you just have the appearance of fruitfulness with leaves? Without the fruits to eat for the Lord? As a church, you're in interregnum now, where you're looking to appoint another leader. But this church, if the Lord comes, let's forget about the pastor who you might employ, because he too, like myself, will be judged. When the Lord requires fruits in our lives and he doesn't find, we're going to be in problem. Because you see, these fruits is what makes the tree blessed. If you say you're very blessed, ma'am, and there aren't things for humanity to eat of you, to benefit from, if you're not a blessing, you see the Abrahamic covenant. Unfortunately for the pastors in Nigeria, where I come from, they got stuck at, you will be blessed. They've not really moved on to, and all nations will be blessed by you. So they're still accumulating wealth. That's why in Nigeria we have the highest ratio of ministers who fly private jets. They're still gathering the harvest for themselves. But you see, I can't judge them. Curse. God does curse. Jesus' cursed victory is symbolical. You see, if the tree did not have the appearance, and this is what religion has made a lot of us now, and this is why we are having a repeat of the Pharisees at Jesus' time, we have them now. Established religious organizations who care more about every other thing apart from the people. And when they do care about the people, they're selective about it. You need reference from people they like and love and accept. Because in Jesus' time, he was not taking recommendations from the religious leaders. If you read your Bible, you'll find that he wasn't. No. So, I'm begging you. If you're not sure if you're a disciple of Christ, talk to someone. Talk to your deacons, talk to your elders. Because if some people have registered you as a Christian and you don't know anything about Christ, you're running a dangerous game. What did you say? Yes. Yes. And if you're not bearing his fruit. Now, what are those fruits? Gentleness. 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, self-control. One more. Forbearance, which is patience. Thank you. Another assignment. Write this fruits out in your home. Have them in your lounge and watch it every day and see how many fruits are on your tree, on the tree of your soul. Is your gentleness selection? Is it selective? The song said, with God's faithfulness, there's no shadow. With your faithfulness, is there shadows? Some men can be faithful to their wives, their daughters, but to some other people, there are something else. Some people, the 2 hours you spend in church, you would almost assume they're already in heaven. But it's not; they're not the same person at home. And their neighbors. Don't forget, the first Christians were qualified as Christians by observers, their neighbors, their work colleagues. But a lot of us find ourselves as Christians today because we have been christened as Christians. I was born in the church. I didn't know Christ till I was 22 years old. So I know what I'm talking about. I know what it feels like to have the leaves, the appearance of a fruitful person, but not be fruitful for the Lord. I was in the choir from a young age. Those who know me know I'm a good instrumentalist and I can rock a tune for the Lord. But if I had died before 22nd October 1994, when I met the Lord, that would have been it. Wasted. Wasted. Now, Jesus finishes with this fig. The disciples ask why, and he explains. Do we now understand why he put a curse on it? We do, right? Because it had a deceptive appearance. Deceptive appearance. The kind of appearance you put out that people see and make up stuff about you and makes them comfortable and draws them in. The tree drew Jesus in. Jesus almost fell for it. It drew Jesus in. And what kind of church are you like? What kind of people, what kind of disciple are you like? Because I go around churches. I don't have a church. I'm not a parish pastor, and I've never been and never will be. Not for any religious organization. My ministry is non-denominational. There's no exclusivity about the gospel. That was one curse. Now, the violent act. Jesus got into that town, went to the temple first, inspected it. When I came, I looked, I found the flag of Nigeria. I was very happy, chuffed. Jesus went, inspected the temple. You see, what he inspected first? The temple. Because that's where the judgment will start from. From all the bishops, all the archbishops, the popes, all the pastors, every sermon I've ever preached, I'm going to be judged if I lied, if I cheated, if I flattered. Everyone, every single one. Watch what Jesus does here. He goes into the temple. You know the temple, the original design, Holy of Holies, outer, there's this big part where Gentiles could come in because Israel was an worship, temple was an Israel thing. But suddenly, there was this shift where God was bringing the whole world in. It was suddenly time to bring everyone in. So some still think God hasn't done that yet. But the part where Gentiles, visitors were allowed in had been blocked and preoccupied by merchants, dealers. But how does Jesus describe them? Robbers. Because the temple worship at the time demanded that you buy your offering and you take to the priests. But we do know that even the priests at then had got greedy and were already disobedient. They took what they wanted to take. They had lost discernment. Anyway, this day, Jesus comes without notice. One thing I like with British government is they always give you notice for everything. If they're repossessing your house, they will send a letter first. But this day, no notice. And this is how the return of Christ will be. There will be no notice. Oh, there will be no notice. You either are ready with your everyday life or you're not. You see, we immigrants in UK, until you get your citizenship, we carry our identity with us. Because it can be required at any time. Yeah. At any time. I'm a black man, I know. That's why I don't wear hoodies. I'm not just taking chances, am I? Because before they check my ID card, I know I'm a reverend gentleman. I've already been tasered. Is there any use to the gospel? No. So without notice, this is how the trumpet will sound. Don't forget my takeaway. Will you know when Christ comes again? Are you waiting? So he goes on, he kicks out the temple selling, the buying and selling. Now, if anybody does that in any denomination today, the police will be called and you'd be arrested. Because in today's terms, these are the books authors write, publishers, all the dealing that goes on in the church. You see, be careful. Anything you're doing, any time you come here, make sure you're coming to worship or to serve. But if you're profiting from the name of the Lord, watch it, he's coming back. You all have the opportunity to employ a pastor now. You have been strengthened in your church meetings as a Baptist. But what I know is that if there's a couple who are crooked in your deaconate or elder, they can hijack the will of the whole church. I've seen it happen before. Not once, not twice. If there's one elder whose heart is not to worship God and bring his glory, And if they are recommended, if they are the ones with the legal know-how and connection with LBA, they will rob all of you of the will of God. And God will just watch. Because judgment is coming. So Jesus kicks out everything in the temple and said, "Don't you know that my house is a house of prayer? Worship only. Worship only. Worship only. Don't just come to church because you have a charity you want to plug. You're doing a good thing, but that doesn't buy you salvation. That doesn't please God by itself. You see what pleased God on the entry? Worship, adoration, discernment. People who recognized him as God, as Jesus. When you go anywhere and people recognize you, how does it make you feel? Your doctor, you go, and he calls your first name. Hello, Ken. How are you? It makes you feel part of. Makes you feel comfortable. Please don't hear me wrong. You're on the IT, is good work. Leading worship is good work. I'm preaching now, is good work. But am I just preaching for profiteering? Or am I preaching to make myself look good so that you can send me an email later and say, we consider you for next appointment? All these things is God who will judge me. You might not know. If I had colluded with Robert and David and his wife, if you're not his wife, but you did say you are, okay. Oh, Lord. Yes, Mama, but you see, the religious leaders pass judgments all the time. Multitudes follow them. So if the LBA, if they came here now and brought a terrorist who's just returned from Syria and gave him Baptist accreditation and get familiar with a few of you, and they come with the big collars and they say, this is the person for you. You might not know the difference. There might be one or two people who say, this doesn't sound right. But it's hard to go against powerful religious leaders. Many Christians think persecution is going to come from outside. No, it's within us. It's within us. The people who killed Jesus were not the enemies of Israel. They were not even their colonial master. When I refused the ordination, when I got out of the settlement list of the Baptist Union, I told the Baptist, I pulled out a day before the settlement, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I told them why. The LBA minister, the head then, Jeff Andrews then, he invited me, he came to my house. Why would you do such a thing? I said, it's very simple. I said, after being in Spurgeon's for 8 years, with the BU and all of you, you invited me in, I didn't come. I said, I don't want to receive your ordination. He said, why? I said, because you men are dishonest. I've known you for some time, I've dealt with you, I've seen the decisions you make. It's not about racism even. They just don't look like they were bearing fruits of gentleness. There's nothing to hide here. You people know I used to be at NBC. There was a time our old people were crying. The LBA never showed up, but they managed to put a document in their files as if they had gone to listen to old people. So I said, none of you lot is going to lay hands on my head. Keep your accreditation because you won't be my judge. Let me carry on witnessing. So, Jesus turned out everything. And when he comes, will he find you trading, willing and dealing in the name of the Lord? Or will he find you worshiping and waiting? The truth is, we'll never know. But the individual will know. The individual will know. Apologies that I've got over time. Ask, I never stick with the 20 minutes. But thank you for your patience. Let us pray.
Lord, we thank you for that word and that real challenge. And Father God, I just pray that we would go away with that, that we would look at our lives and long to see that fruitfulness, Lord. And Father God, when actually there are areas that it's not there, we thank you that you convict us so that we can change that. You don't condemn us, you convict. So we just pray that today, and we pray that you would just keep in our hearts those challenges and that you would lead us with wisdom and your grace.